Dave, do you think that music is timely?
I love that music, and welcome back again.
I didn't have the Republican Party's national anthem, so I thought I'd play the Hurricane
song.
Oh,
the Hurricane. Yeah, well, if you're in New Orleans, I'm not sure. The views expressed on this program are solely of Tom, our producer. The Hurricane, yeah. I thought they're the Elephant Party. Yeah, not the Hurricane. There's a hurricane coming up to New Orleans, not the Elephant. What Elephant song do you have? Or do you?
Now,
do you have an elephant?
What about Tampa?
Where'd he go? Tom, our producer. Ladies and gentlemen.
What about Tampa, though?
Well,
the hurricane almost got there, didn't it?
I know, but if you're talking about the Republican National Convention, they're the Elephant Party, aren't they?
I'll find the elephant.
Who's the donkey
song?
Party? The Democrats?
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right. So there's the hurricane song. And, of course, we clearly apologize for anyone living near New Orleans. No, this could be bad, actually. It's a category. They say it could be a one or two because it gets so hot in the Gulf and it's picking up steam. But the more important thing, what I understand, isn't the category one or two. It's the fact that it's such a big storm, like 200-300 miles wide or whatever, however they call it, in circumference. Is that how they say it, Al?
I saw that it's 100-mile-an-hour winds will hit the coast.
Yeah, and the surge, it'll accumulate all this water, and they could be big flooding. That's the sad part. We don't want to see anything bad with New Orleans. So that's going to be coming up. I guess we'll just have to keep our eyes on that and hope for the best. Mandatory
Absolutely.
Evacuations, evidently, along those coastal areas. I've never been in a hurricane. How about you guys?
No, just two earthquakes.
Oh, really? Where?
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, you live there?
Yeah, in 76, and another one I don't remember now. But
94?
There was one prior.
But yeah, 76, the Selmark quake, right?
Yeah.
I was in that one, and the 94 was Northridge.
And then
a lot in between.
And that's why I live here in Arizona.
That's why I live here in Arizona. I never knew that out. Really?
Yes.
We have something like major in common.
Yes, I lived in L.A. for a number of years.
Really? How number? I mean, what number?
About 15. Floods, famines, fires.
Mudslides.
Earthquakes.
Riots.
And drive-by shootings.
Yeah, the whole thing. And where in L.A. did you live?
Near UCLA.
Oh, Westwood.
Yes.
My office was in Century City.
Oh, see, we didn't even know.
I had no idea. This is incredible. We'll just talk about this for today. I'm just kidding. We have, of course, Christian Marison back from an extended stay. We won't say where, unless you want to say where. But you want to say where?
Absolutely. I don't hide it. I was in Romania for about 5 weeks.
That is so cool. Should we say what you were doing there?
I got married.
Should we ask why? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. I'm just kidding. I'm not bitter. Okay, so it was probably a great time.
Absolutely. I did have to work, though, from there, so it was almost a good time.
Yeah, you did some stuff for me, and I go, wow, he's like in a different country, and he's still fixing stuff and improving stuff. And
you can't really take 5 weeks off and not work at all.
Yeah, so the wedding, it was nice?
Yeah, definitely. Had a lot of fun. And
wow, and it was a sort of a big wedding.
It was 150 people.
That sounds big, right?
Yes, it is.
Wow. How's married life?
It's exactly the same as before.
Okay. Well, that could
and it's
mean,
good.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if that was good or bad, but now we know it's good. But why not? Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is so exciting. Now you brought in a guest. Oh, before we introduce our guest, we should say that you're part of NetOne Services. You
Absolutely.
Do the web design and related items, and you're a superstar in this area.
Thank you very much.
Don't you agree?
I agree. Absolutely. That's why he's on the team.
And if you want to see an example of his great stuff, go to sportsbreakthrough.com. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. We build the entire site.
It's really
ground
cool.
Up.
It's a cool site. Sportsbreakthrough.com, and that's our sports site. You want to introduce your guest for today?
Absolutely. Today we have Adriana Parsons from Westmac, and I'll let her tell us a little bit about herself.
Good afternoon. Thank you. First of all, talking about Christian and recently married, I love the guy's perspective. You ask, how was the wedding? Oh, it was great. Fine. That's it. I just got married a year ago, and you asked me that question, and I'd rattle off all of the intricate parts of this wedding that we had on the beach. It's just
wow.
so funny how guys and girls have a different take.
You're right. That is a different thing. So you just said, great, it was great. But you would look at all, would it be all the details, or would it be how you felt about it?
Both.
How do you feel about it?
Still enchanted. It was a beach wedding in San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Where? What beach?
Mission Beach, the Bahia.
Yeah, nice.
Yes,
my niece got married there.
Ooh.
She was in a big tent overlooking the ocean. It was great.
Oh, wow. See, those are the details. If we hear about Romania, we want to know all those types of details.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, this good thing you brought this up, because some of the statistics that I brought today actually sort of explain the behavior for men and women. We'll talk about it in a little
fantastic.
Bit. So,
cool.
It'll be a cool thing.
Oh, I like it. So,
all right.
Well, we'll get you on one of our other shows, and you can explain the marriage details.
Cool.
Yeah, the wedding details, I should say. Okay.
Okay. Well, professionally, what I do is I'm the public information officer for WestMEC, Western Maricopa Education Center, and we are a public school district that provides career and technical education to high school students.
Very cool.
Students looking for a career pathway, they can start in their high school in several different programs, and they're all available either on their high school campus or through WestMEC. We have programs that are off campus that juniors and seniors can leave and go to and get hands-on skill training in those programs.
Wow. And so describe what public information officer means.
Public information officer. Well, you have to have a background in communications. I have a background in broadcast journalism. And what I do for WestMEC specifically is I do all the outbound communications, community relations, do internal communications between WestMEC and our member school districts, because we have 12 school districts that we serve, and we provide those career and technical education programs. So communicating about those programs to students, parents, teachers, counselors, administrations. And then my exciting part is the social media. I'm in charge and I manage our social media efforts for the district.
Wow, this is very, very timely that you're on this show, and you are doing great. I could see why you graduated in broadcast journalism.
Well, thank you. It's a passion. I always wanted to be a Sun Devil and go to Cronkite.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't go to Cronkite.
I did go.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
That's where you graduated from.
Before they moved into the big brand new building.
When did you graduate?
2005.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You look so young. How did she do that?
Thank
Christian?
You.
Oh, you look young too. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to Christian. We got an outline of what you want to talk about. So what's first?
Today I want us to move on our previous shows. We talked a lot about from the business perspective about social media. So we looked one direction. But today I want to broaden up the conversation to sort of talk about who's out there. Who are the people? Who's social media? Who are the people that use, you know, the various networking channels, and what are the behavior patterns like, mm-hmm. and what do they prefer, and how do they look, and what are their income levels? Sort of see, again, who's out there. And the first thing that I want to talk about is information. If you talk to a lot of businesses and you ask them, what's the most important thing for your business? They might say their distribution channel. They might say their marketing efforts, their product, their manufacturing. But nobody really says, or very few people say, the information they have. Because really knowing something or knowing stuff about your business or about your customers really is the first step. That what really drives what product you sell, how you sell it, where you sell it, right? Am I correct? I mean, everybody
yeah, absolutely.
Sort of. And having information, knowing who your customers are, how do they behave, what are their preferences, is really the most crucial part of any business. And today I want to talk a little bit in more general terms about some statistics about Facebook, some Pinterest, Google Plus, LinkedIn, and so far and so on.
Well, I like it. And that makes sense in terms of information. And would that be the same thing as like knowledge, and knowledge is power?
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
exactly what it is.
And I think what you're saying, which makes a lot of sense, if you have information, like you're a consultant, whether it's an attorney, CPA, or any type of consulting type of person, being able to repackage that could be critical. And I think that's what you're talking about, is how do you repackage it through social media?
Absolutely. What I do as a web designer and as a social media guy is really I try to get businesses to understand that you have to know who you're talking to. You can't just go and create a Facebook page and just hopefully people will come and buy stuff from you. That's not really how it works. You have to know your customer base first and then tailor your message and what you do on social media and on social networking, tailor that specifically to the people that are within your target market. And that comes directly from interacting with your customers, which businesses do every day.
Well, that totally makes sense. So how do we get started with this then? You got the information, you got knowledge. The next step is what, to know who your target is?
Absolutely. Well, let me give you just a few numbers out there. At this point, I've mentioned this before, there are over 800 million active Facebook users out there in the world. So there's quite a few. But what's really interesting is that on average, they have about 130 friends each. So let's take this, for example. There are four of us in this room, right? Let's add six more people, so there's 10 of us. If you reach these 10 people, hypothetically, you can at the same time reach 1,300 people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's a web, right? You reach one person, but through them you can reach, on average, 130. Now, some I have, you know, 200-300, like you, Dave. How many friends do you have?
About, let's see, 3,200?
There you go.
Something like that.
So if someone reaches you.
Is that good?
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
It is?
Yeah. It is.
I credit you.
Well, I have like 200.
That's it?
Yeah.
What's up with that? No, 200. But you were in Romania for a while.
Well, I don't do social media for myself.
Oh, okay. That's why. But yeah, you helped me on the – you did some Facebook pages for the thinking side and the sports side. But you're right. I've been noticing that, right? We've been increasing it. We've been talking about that where you post – you know, the key is, you know, you said information, knowledge. When I started doing more content, what happened?
You got more likes, more people, more traffic.
It was interesting. And that might be one of the keys is content, but that's information, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it should be good information, hopefully. And pictures work too, by the way.
Absolutely.
Especially with the Sidewinders.
You have to, when you put stuff on your Facebook wall, it can't just be advertising and just, you know, buy stuff from you. It can't be that. It has to be a communication. It has to be a two-way street between you and the community that surrounds you as a business. So I think you're right. Having pictures, having a clear message that provides some sort of value to people, it's absolutely essential.
The quickest way to turn off people from your social media is to just push out content. It's dialogue, not a monologue. That's social media. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of what it is. So when you're putting on there pictures and posting content and information, as you're saying, when your followers and your friends, they comment on it and they build a whole communication conversation based on that dialogue. That's social media.
Yeah, it was interesting. And Facebook, I noticed there's something called like your reach or something. And when we started doing that, I started noticing like in a 5-day period, it said like what was it, like 4,900 or something. And I wasn't exactly sure what happened, but I liked it. I go, wow, from 0 to 4,900, how did that happen? So, but it evidently is like what you were saying is that you have one friend, then the other friends start looking at that. And it can go viral, too.
Exactly. It's based on the degree of separation. Is you can reach 10 people and at the same time reach 1,300. But if you reach 1,000, I mean, that just, you know, can tell you how powerful social media can be in reaching a lot of people.
Now, Adriana, how do you use this in what you do as a PIO?
Specifically for WestMech, for my school district, we use it to push out information about the school district and our career and technical education programs. But we also look for feedback from students about how they're doing, how they enjoy their programs, what they hope to do in their career pathway. We also target to our communities as far as the parents. They want to see how well their students are doing. They want to see those highlighted pieces, those student achievements. We want to hear from our counselors, our teachers. We want that to be a constant dialogue about what's happening with career and technical education as being that premier model of education to take a student and help him learn academics, technical skill, leadership abilities, and make that be their pathway for success.
So you use it as a communication tool?
We absolutely do, yes.
Which makes sense. It's like a portal and everyone can get on board.
Absolutely. One thing that I want to say about WestMech is I've met with them on several occasions, and I've seen their marketing materials, I've seen their social media efforts, and I can say that I've seen very few, if any, businesses that do it at such a powerful degree. And they do it right from start to finish, and I was really impressed considering what I do, that to see that someone does invest money into something that can bring a lot of value back.
Wow. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to maybe go over the specifics of what they do and maybe how to translate that, giving tips to our listeners. That might be very interesting. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. And this is, if it is, I should say, the fourth Monday of every month from 2 to 4. It is Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton and Christian Marison, and we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back. I want Al and Christian to sing a background music on that one. What happened to the hurricane one? Okay, so it blew out all our music, evidently. Anyway, this is Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and if it is the fourth Monday from 2 to 4, it must be Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton and Christian Marison, Net One Services. And, of course, in studio we have special guest Adriana Parsons, a PIO for Westmac.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And this is great for people that do not know what PIO is. It's Public Information Officer. And you are an ASU fan, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I am maroon and gold.
And you're looking forward to the football action, basketball, everything?
Absolutely. Football, baseball, basketball.
Hockey?
Hockey.
There we go. We're big hockey fans. And how excited or not were you when U of A won the World Series of College?
You know, it was a tough thing to take, but you got to give love and say, okay, at least an Arizona team was doing well.
Oh, there you go. That's a good sport.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm impressed.
Absolutely. My dad would kill me for saying that, being a second-generation Sun Devil. But, you know.
Uh-oh. Well, he's online.
That's all right.
He's on line one right now.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, back to Christian. Where do we want to go from here?
We were talking before a little bit about statistics on Facebook, and one thing that I want to throw out there is that Facebook and users for Facebook and Twitter are 70%, or actually 60% of Facebook users are women, and only 40 are men. And the same goes for Twitter.
60 on Twitter too?
Yes, yes, they're very close by, and. What I want to bring it back to is the marriage conversation we had earlier. Mm-hmm. Where Adriana was saying that, you know, I use like three words to describe how my wedding was, and she mentioned that she would say a lot more words, and I think that explains why there are more women than men using these communication channels, is because they might have more to say.
But you would say it on Twitter because it's only 140 characters, and Adriana, you would say it on Facebook because you could say a lot more.
I might do that, or I'd make sure that I'm curtailing my tweet, that I'm getting the best message out there and keeping it short.
Oh, make it concise.
Mm-hmm. Make it concise, and then also maybe add a picture or a link to maybe there's a wedding blog that I wanted to link it back to.
Oh,
and that's what we do for WestMech, is I link it. If I have a story, a large story about a student achievement, maybe it's about one of our aviation technology students that is working at an aircraft mechanics part for the summer, and it's a long story, but I can only tweet 120 or 140 characters, I'll link it back to our WestMech website.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, that's a good idea. So even though it's 140 characters, you can send a link. That's another way to get some... followers.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. If you're a business and you're trying to tailor a message to a particular audience, let's say you have 100 people, well, knowing that those 100 people might have, you know, hundreds or thousands of people behind them, you can then sort of tailor that message knowing that there are more women, generally speaking, of course, or not, we can't, you know, talk specifics, but generally speaking, there are more women, so you can tailor that message better to the audience that you're talking to.
And I understand, is that if you use the hashtag, which is the pound sign, and if people search, you know, for that particular thing, then they can find you. And if you use the at sign, it goes right to what would you call it, the home page of whoever the at is?
Correct.
Yeah, and I did that, and it really does work, you know, especially on our sports shows. Sometimes, let's say we do at Arizona Rattlers, and they'll retweet it because they'll see it come through their own tweeting thing.
Absolutely.
That's a good tip, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, the hashtag is gaining momentum as a marketing tool on multiple platforms.
Oh, what else?
You'll see it in commercial marketing. If you're watching a commercial for Nike, they'll throw a hashtag, just do it, and they'll add that to their online, their print, and use that as their search tool where they're driving all the customers to one point to find that information about whatever product Nike's selling.
Exactly. And it's mm-hmm. much easier to tell people to find you using a word mm-hmm. rather than give them a website.com/.
Oh.
And then, you know, it's a lot easier to get people to a particular place, and they might remember it much better.
Wow.
What we'll be doing in this new school year, we'll be printing out posters and some of our other marketing material using hashtag best students. So if I'm in... junior in high school and I see a poster in my school, I can take that hashtag and start tweeting and be directed to everything that's talking about WestMech. And so that's what we're hoping to do.
Wow, that's a cool thing. A lot of people may not realize some of the power at their fingertips.
Absolutely. Definitely.
All right.
Some of the other things I wanted to mention is why do people use social media? And I found a few numbers on this, and they didn't really come as a surprise, but I guess some of them might have. 67% of people that responded to the survey said they stay in touch with friends, so that's pretty normal. 64% said they stay in touch with family. 50% reconnected with old friends, but only 9% said that they make new friends.
Mm.
And then 3% find romantic partners. But what I wanted to talk about is the fact that I assumed initially that social media was for people to find new things to do and find new people out there. But in reality, it's really the same life they have offline, just online. It's the same friends. It's the same family members. It's just an extension, really, of what they do. So it's not really – they don't have a different lifestyle once they're on their Facebook page. They just have the same lifestyle, same behavior, same patterns, but online.
So from a business standpoint, then what does this all mean then?
A lot of businesses assume that they have to do things necessarily different, talk to people differently online than they do offline. And in reality, they don't. They just need to be able to communicate and provide value using these channels and just treat people the exact same way. They usually just are too scared to really not do anything, I guess, out of the ordinary. But really, all they have to do is just keep on doing the same thing you've been doing. Just do it online.
That's interesting. So mainly it's been stay in touch with friends and family.
Exactly.
Wow.
Take that genuine connection from what you have in that relationship building and just put it online.
So how would you develop a relationship online? Is there some tools and just constantly stay in touch and send interesting
things
about yourself?
It's the exact same thing you would do offline. It's really Facebook and the social media is really a bridge between the fact that we're all busy nowadays and you just can't meet, you know, your friends on a daily basis. And this is a channel to keep in touch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might talk things, you might post things, you might like and share. And it's the exact same thing you would do offline, perhaps. It's just having a conversation.
And so, Adriana, from your standpoint and what you do with the school district, you mentioned that it's a communication tool. But what else do you do? Is there anything else that you're going to use in the social media circle?
Sure, I'll use Twitter as a specific example. Because we're a school district, we have to go out there and we have to inform the public about what we're doing. But we also need to gain feedback and sponsors, business partners. We want them to be on board and support career and technical education. So, for instance, if we have a student that's looking for an internship or we have an advisory council that we need a business partner to serve on, we'll use Twitter as that information piece to push out there and do invitations to come to our WestMEC events. Or we'll use Twitter as a way to connect with our legislative districts. We'll also use Twitter to connect with those legislators that are making decisions to know that CTE is important, career and technical education is an important thing for the whole state of Arizona.
So it sounds like would it be important to have a lot of followers or just people know that you exist by using the hashtags and the at sign?
It's both. I think for us, what we're doing is we're gradually starting to gain more followers. But what I've found that's been helpful is the influencers. When I have someone who has a lot of clout and background and a lot of followers, if I can get them to retweet what I've tweeted, that helps promote my message to all of their followers.
That makes sense. So I guess that's how you build followers, is people retweeting.
And you have to connect and make sure that you're tweeting something of value, as
exactly.
Christian said.
So Adriana, in your case, what would be a value, do you think? Give me some examples.
Sure. I'll use an example for our medium heavy diesel technology program. This is a 2-year program that students can go to, and they actually learn the mechanics of the big rigs. And they're actually doing this through a partnership that we have with Freightliner of Arizona. They're a very large dealership here in Arizona. And we had the consulate from Liberia come visit because they want to model something in their own country. So we had the minister here, and as he was giving a tour and meeting some of the students, I was taking pictures and tweeting of the whole delegation's visit there.
Interesting.
And the tourism board in Liberia, I used their Twitter handle to make sure that they knew that I was tweeting about them, and then they retweeted it to all of their international followers.
Wow, that's sort of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how about some other examples, Christian?
Let me give you an example, for example, for a small business.
Yeah.
A small business does not have an employee on hand to change their website whenever they have a new product, whenever they find a piece of information that may be valuable to their customer. Sometimes as a business, you might have small updates that your customers might be concerned about. Perhaps an article, perhaps a new sale. You just mix and match. However, you just don't have the financial capabilities to have someone on hand that would do that for you on your website or your Facebook page. Well, Twitter comes in here very handily because it's free, it's very easy to use, and if people want to stay in touch with you, they can follow exactly what you're doing, exactly what's new, and you can provide that value in a very effortless and at really no cost to you.
So, for example, like for a small business value on new product lines or if you're a consultant, maybe things that might impact the business, new tax laws or things that might be proposed. Something.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
absolutely
pretty cool.
Or there might be an article they ran about that's, for example, if you're a plumber, it's some advice to consumers on how to do some things themselves. Or, you know, just advice and product updates and a little bit of marketing, and mixing these things will make sure that your audience doesn't perceive that all you're doing is selling. But at the same time, that you're a business, so you have to do that. You can't just, you know, we're not selling anything on Facebook, or we're not using these to market ourselves. You have to use them because you're a business. But at the same time, there are ways to talk to people rather than...
So it could be an article, not necessarily on your website,
no,
but somewhere, and once you get them to follow, then you can sort of steer them to your website.
Exactly, something useful.
Well, that's pretty interesting. That would be... Now, is this brand... I mean, Twitter, it hasn't been around that long, right?
Not quite as much as Facebook. In terms of their users, they have about, let's see, 127 million versus, you know, the 850 that Facebook does. But it's quite a different channel. It's not like Facebook at all. It doesn't serve the same purpose. And sometimes they're combined. Sometimes businesses use Twitter as an extension or as a bridge of some of the things that Facebook can't do. So I usually recommend to businesses, get yourself a Twitter account, get yourself a Facebook page, generally speaking. And usually those will do the job for whatever they're doing.
How about if you're in, you have several businesses, one Twitter or one per business?
Definitely one per business. Or what you might want to do is, rather than have, if you have a smaller business and you're a strong part of the business as an owner or as a president, then what you can have is a personal one, and people get to know you and your business, or you associate it with your business, and then you can promote other things as well on there. So it's really how you want this in the future to be. Is, do you want your business to have a Twitter account in the future, or do you want you to be in control of what goes out there?
Well, that makes sense. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with in-studio guests. We have Adriana Parsons from Westmac, and this is Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton and Christian Marison from Net One Services. Our music is back. Luckily, we don't have to sing on the next break as we're coming back to the studio. We'll be right back.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222 and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing Service Master Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know Service Master Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's Service Master Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for Service Master Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and if it is the fourth Monday from 2 to 4, it is Breakthrough Networking, starring none other than Al Fulton and Christian Marison. NetOne Services, great IT, great web, no question about it. People need to know you two individuals.
I need to tweet a little more.
Yeah, do you tweet?
No, I don't.
You have a Twitter account?
I do.
Oh.
Yeah, Christian set it up for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
I have two Twitter accounts.
See, that's a big no-no with social media. You have to put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
You have to say, once you set it up, I'll do 5-10 minutes a day, but at least
constant interaction.
To get started.
How often do you tweet, do you think, Adriana?
I'm on my phone constantly tweeting.
Really?
And on Facebook. Oh, yes.
How many tweets a day?
Not as many as a lot of PR practitioners that are out there using Twitter a lot, because I'm managing both Westmix and Adriana's Twitter. But I would say, you know, I like to do a couple in the morning, couple in the afternoon, make sure that I'm maintaining a constant flow of communication.
Was that a couple hundred you said?
No. Two or three.
Oh, so you don't need to do a whole lot then. Mm-mm. That's not bad. Okay, Christian, so you were going to talk about, teenagers and...
Absolutely. First thing I want to talk about is influence. Yeah. From a business standpoint, especially when doing social media, influencing consumers is actually quite an important factor. And influence is a huge factor on social media. For instance, a 2007 survey said that if your friends on Facebook are obese, you have 50% more chances of being obese yourself. Same goes for smoking. And a substance abuse. And for me, at least, that told me quite loudly how important it is to have a clear and powerful message as a business on Facebook, because one way or another, you're going to influence people. And what you want to have is a positive message. And everything that you tweet or you post on your Facebook page has to have some sort of message. And if it has a positive message, overall, over the 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you're going to get some positive results yourself.
But it sounds like you're not influencing them. They're influencing you. If so, because I thought what you said is, if, let's say, smoking or substance abuse, if you have people that smoke and have substance abuse on your Facebook, then you have a 50% chance of having substance abuse.
Well, I was talking more about peers to peers, friends to friends.
Oh.
But from a business perspective, it's a lot. The relationship changes.
I got you. So that's interesting. So maybe it's built into the fabric of the connection already. If you're already connecting with a certain group that's similar to you and they jump on Facebook, maybe it's already there where you're connecting with a certain type of behavior.
Perhaps.
That's my neuro-linguistic programming coming out. Al, what do you think of that?
I agree.
It makes sense, right?
Or just what somebody, it does make sense, what somebody else is doing, peer pressure. If someone says they're going out to have a pizza, then, just that in their mind, oh, yeah, let's go out and have pizza. And then the next person says just an hour later, let's go have dessert, let's go have ice cream. And so the pattern of, suggestion, the power of suggestion, neuro-linguistic programming, the individuals might just, eat more Or, you know, if they're smoking, hey, let's, you know, the next crowd says, hey, let's
go. Oh, that's what you're talking
exactly,
about.
Exactly, yes.
That makes sense, Christian. Really, I didn't think about it that way.
It's really
right.
Subconscious. Yeah. You're not really looking at your friends and say, well, you know, I'm going to go eat more necessarily because they're obese. It doesn't work like that.
But they're going to be
exactly
consciously, unconsciously typing in like, oh,
it's like really being
pizza.
It's like being surrounded by people who smoke or people who eat a lot or – and then that type of behavior sort of starts to be normal for you, and you incorporate it more easily than you would otherwise.
Well, let's open up a discussion on this then, because then for the younger crowd, how important, and I bet Adriana will chime in on this, because with you have the high school crowd, but let's think about it. What can parents do? I mean, this is part of being involved in your kid's life to be able to understand maybe the peers they do hang around with and how these statistics are like huge. I mean, 50% if you're drawing, you know, people with substance abuse or smoking or whatever the case, that it has an influence on you. So what do you do as a parent or as a PIO person, a teacher or whatever, administrator in school, Adriana?
It's all about monitoring and make sure you know what's happening and going on in those social networks. And there are tools out there. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to go on all of these social media platforms. I only have that 5 minutes of day to maybe check one social media network. Well, there are free tools out there that you can monitor all of your social networks at one time. And maybe you are looking at, if it is a parent, you're looking at your multiple children's and what are their different social networkings, and you get to be the administrator on there. I know for us with Westmac, we built policies to say if there's anything of abnormal content or illicit content, as the PIO, I have the authority to go in and take it off. However, I want that genuine conversation, so I will say, you know, this isn't something that we can put on our Facebook, but I'll make a mention of it to again create that conversation. But the big thing with teenagers and what I see when I look, what I've developed with Westmac specifically for Facebook, I've created a ghost account because I want to be able to contact the students and not let them into my own Adriana Parsons personal account. So I have a ghost Westmac account that they know it's Westmac. It's the PR department at Westmac contacting you. But then it's that level and protection for us as a district so that we're not contacting our 16, 17-year-old students. And I urge our staff and our teachers to use that, too, so that they're protecting their privacy from who they are in the classroom to who they are personally outside of work.
And then that creates more safety for the teenager to communicate?
Absolutely. And I also... we got to know that teens are smart. They're starting to be more aware of their digital footprint, and I mean, they do make mistakes. They're teenagers, as we all do. But I've done presentations in front of some of our classrooms to say, okay, how important is your digital footprint? Because we're a career and technical district. We're talking about career development. Well, that's a key piece. If they're leaders in the community, if they're building their resume, they need to know that they have a nice, clean digital footprint, that they have the best of the pictures on there and the best of the best on all their social sites.
In fact, that brings up an interesting thing with Facebook, is that people should be careful what they put on, because what I understand now is when you look for a job, employers are actually looking at some of your footprints, I guess what you could call it, and that can make a big difference if they hire you or not.
Absolutely. Actually, I've read quite a lot of examples that are disturbing, really. Companies that ask for your password for your Facebook page to poke around and
really
see what you've been doing. Absolutely. I've actually read about lawsuits. Once you've quit the company, for example, lawsuits that try to get you your LinkedIn account that you might have sales leads on. Then there's quite a lot of interesting things going out there. I don't know how legal it is, but it's definitely quite disturbing, especially considering that once you work for a company and you use your Facebook page, right? I mean, you sort of represent the company in some sort of way. So it's sort of a gray area. You sort of understand that there are some intimacy and privacy issues here, but at the same time is, do you represent the company when you're on your Facebook page? Do you say that you work for them? Do you post as an employee or do you post as yourself? It's sort of
new new ground to cover, evidently. Remember, we had Jim Heighton on, and you were talking about some of the precautions from an IT password and all that. And
right.
That was very interesting.
Yes, as well as some of the employees and their conduct personally, and they do something at the office and cause a... we'll just say a commotion in the office amongst the staff. Well, it turns out that the person was not the victim. They were the perpetrator. So that came out by just simply reviewing, the person's personal, information in that digital footprint.
It's incredible what's going on. Some people – go ahead, Christian.
Actually, in 2010, there were 50% of companies restricted access to social networks from the companies. But today, actually, the number's decreasing by about 10% per year. And it's somewhere around – I think they're expecting it to be about 30% next year. So access to social media for employees is decreasing. It's actually increasing. So I think from this point on, all we're going to see is just more examples of – really these
lawsuits
and crazy things going on that who knows what the legislators will come up with.
So one other question, let's go, and then we'll go to Adriana about a little bit more on Westmac, but the future of Twitter, what do you think?
I think that it will not go away. Absolutely not. I think it's too big right now to sort of be pushed aside. Obviously, Facebook could come up with something similar, but I think so many people use it that it's become an integral part of some businesses. The future looks bright, however. 53%, for example, of people online interact with a brand while they're on Facebook. So it's not like you have to, just talk about articles that you find as a business and things that are not specific to your sales. No, there are a lot of people out there that use Twitter, they use Facebook, and they expect you as a business to promote some of your products. Mm-hmm. So I think the future looks bright for businesses. It's just a matter of tackling this and putting a little bit of effort into it and make sure that, you're not just – don't use it as a marketing tool, but as a communication tool.
And then that brings us right back to Adriana. That's what you do. And is there anything else you do with this? And are you sort of the leader – in this area in education, people are going to be following what you do?
Well, I'd like to think so. I'd hope so. What we do with Westmac is because we have such a different career model, education model for career and technical education, we felt we have a story to tell. And so social media is just another tool in our communications toolbox to promote what we're doing to help students find career success and lifelong success. When we're talking about the future of Twitter specifically to students and how millennials and teenagers are interacting online, I've actually read that students are kind of shying away Facebook because that's where their parents and their teachers are starting to interact more. And also because students, they are getting that pressure, that image thing. So Facebook, sometimes they just have to like a friend because they're in a classroom together, but yet they don't have similar likes or interests. So a lot of students are going to other networks like Tumblr or Twitter because you can, as we said, with the hashtags, the search tools, you can find things that are related to your interests. And that's kind of what the millennial generation, that's what I'll say we're looking for because I'm at the kind of the height of the millennials, but the students now, they're that millennial generation. And a statistic here from Pew Research, 34% of millennials will buy a product or service because of the company's social and political views. There again, there's that interest thing, and the consumer or the student had to go out and find, maybe I'm into animal rights issues, human rights issues. Maybe I want to know what's going to be my success pathway in high school. Okay, well, let me see best students. Okay, there's this whole educational model and career district that can help me be the best student, and I didn't even know about it. That's kind of, it's all generated by what you are doing and your interest and intrigue to be out there and seek information.
Absolutely. And for teenagers, at least for now, the future looks bright as well, because 58% of teenagers actually said that their parents are their most important influence on how they behave online. Mm-hmm. And the next influence is actually teachers and schools. So both educational and parental sources are really the most important factors in how we shape the younger generation to behave online.
That's awesome to hear that. That's parents and
it
the
is.
Teachers.
I was surprised too.
Yes.
Wow. So what happened to peer pressure?
Oh, I'm sure it's still there, and I'm sure it'll be just as big issue as it's been so far, especially now that there's peer pressure at school, there's peer pressure online, so there's just more of it. But at the same time, I think that teenagers still do understand that you have to feel a bit more responsible when you're online. It's not just free reign out there.
Mm-hmm. How about a big issue that's going on, bullying, do you see that a lot at your school?
I don't see it particularly because we have programs that students elect to come to. So when they are there at their emergency medical technician classroom, they're there because they knew they wanted to come learn how to be an EMT and a future paramedic in the medical history. So they are there, like I said, with other students that elected to be there wanting to get into that field. So it's that like interests. But I have, through that other account that I've created with WestMech, I can see it on there. There's a lot of competition. There's still high school students who think of that cattiness that can happen sometimes. It's there. But like Christian said, I think there's integrity and students want something and they want a place to communicate and feel comfortable and build relationships and not get that bullying.
Yeah, which is horrible out there.
No,
evidently.
Absolutely. And it's quite extensive too. I think somewhere about 10 to 20% of responses to a survey responded that they actually have been bullied or have been witnessed to a bullying situation.
Man. It's sort of a blessing and a curse at the same time, mm-hmm. right? The social media and the internet stuff, because it can accelerate things, but it could accelerate the negative as well as the positive.
Oh yeah, I mean, you look 10 years ago and social media wasn't around, and we look today and it's part of our lives. I mean, I get on Facebook every day, a few times a day, and I wouldn't have thought this 10 years ago that I would be like this, but it's sort of addicting, really.
Yeah, well, the internet is, too. Do you get on Facebook?
Yeah, occasionally I do. But I wanted to digress for a second to discuss the different individuals and their stars that are out there, their influence, where the kids didn't say, oh, yeah, I want to be just like so-and-so or this athlete, a negative person or influence in their lives, but a very positive one. So
yeah.
That's good.
Wow, this show just zoomed by. And Adriana Parsons, is there a contact number? If someone wanted to get in touch.
Sure, get a hold of us on our Facebook and our Twitter site. Go on to Twitter, and it's /WestMech, our Facebook, /WestMech. And then our main site is www.west-mec.org.
Well, thank you so much. Al, contact information for you and Christian.
Mine's 602-889-7270 and net1services.com.
Right. For me, it's facebook.com/net1services and 602-466-8570.
See everyone tomorrow. Thank you.